This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. And we're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman. A winter weather advisory remaining in effect for most of eastern, north, and South Dakota, northern, west, central, and southwest Minnesota through 6 o'clock. As snow, widespread blowing snow, and strong winds continue to impact the region. Wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour, with areas west seeing gusts near or above 60 miles per hour. Intermittent whiteout and near blizzard conditions occurring, travel alerts in effect. Blowing and drifting snow remaining a concern overnight as winds continue to gust into the 30s, creating additional travel impacts. Temperatures falling sharply, near zero by late tonight. Dangerously cold wind chills developing by tomorrow morning. Sub-zero temperatures and wind chills in the minus 30s to minus 40s expected tomorrow, with afternoon highs only in the single digits. Another round of strong winds and blowing snow possible on Sunday as another clipper system moves through the region. Cattle markets turned sharply lower today after trading mostly higher earlier in the week. According to Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson, concerns tied to reports of New World screwworm closer to the U.S. border help pressure prices across the complex.
We have been seeing some strong bids, and the market has been running pretty good as it's trying to test the old contract high. But like you said, that wasn't until today. Today now, news broke of course, concerns about the New World screwworm issue, especially getting closer to the U.S. Mexican border, and the Texas Ag Commissioner came out with warnings today about inspecting cattle herds and being diligent to report anything you see. So that, I think, is really starting to hit the market pretty hard right now.
Martinson says the market will be watching developments closely to see whether health concerns continue to weigh on cattle prices in the days ahead. Midwest Market Solutions market analyst Brian Hoop says Kansas City wheat got some good support this week from weather in the Central Plains.
If you look at the Kansas City wheat charts, it's the only chart that's showing any type of strength at all, meaning that it's in an uptrend. It's a short-term uptrend, but at least it's in an uptrending market. And we're getting fundamental support from very cold temperatures in the next week or so for the plains. There is virtually no insulation, no snow cover protection across the plains areas to protect this wheat crop from the cold temperatures. And it's been so warm across the plains that this crop has kind of kept growing in the month of December into early January. And now it's going to get hit with really cold temperatures. And it's not likely that we'll see major winter kill damage at this point in time, but it's something that the market can focus on instead of the poor exports.
The fight over President Trump's reciprocal tariffs heating up again on Capitol Hill as the Supreme Court is yet to rule on their legality. The president renewed tariff threats this week, including potential 25% duties on countries doing business with Iran, raising new concerns about global trade tensions. This is Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
If it's used in a way selectively, in a targeted way that makes sense, if it's to get something to accomplish an American objective, in some cases it might be reciprocity with another country that hasn't been treating us fairly. When it comes to trade, there are circumstances in which those tariffs make sense.
Senate Democrats strongly disagree. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer warns expanded tariff authority escalates trade conflicts.
If the Supreme Court strikes down all or some of Donald Trump's tariffs, then we know he'll come to Congress and demand another blank check. Senate Democrats will not support any legislation that hands the president a free pass to slap tariffs on whoever he likes. No blank checks for an endless trade war.
House Ag Democrats pushing back, unveiling the Farm and Family Relief Act aimed at limiting tariff authority and slowing SNAP cost shifting to the states. The White House argues tariffs have helped secure new trade deals that benefit U.S. agricultural exports. However, farm groups say producers have absorbed billions of dollars in losses in the meantime, even as bridge payments remain pending. Trump administration continuing to push, expand market access for U.S. agriculture, with USDA officials taking trade missions overseas to turn new agreements into sales. United States Undersecretary of Agriculture for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Luke Lindberg says a recent trip to Malaysia is already showing some results.
That the Malaysia agreement in particular really sets the standard on is that in the terms of the agreement, the president negotiated some language that says that Malaysia recognizes the U.S. food system as safe. And so we have a lot of interest from across the whole barnyard for exploring the Malaysia market now, because what that really does is it takes down a lot of those trade irritants and previous trade barriers that existed.
Lindbergh says the focus now is converting trade agreements into contracts and sales, with additional trade missions planned to Indonesia, Central America, and Southeast Asia in the months ahead.
The deal maker in chief is really the major difference maker here. President Donald J. Trump has personally been involved in these trade negotiations at a level we've historically never seen from a president. You know, oftentimes an administration might have one or two trade negotiations they're working on at any given time. Unfortunately, in the Biden administration, we saw zero new trade deals across 4 years. But when it comes to President Trump, we've had progress made on over 15 different markets already.
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney circling the globe to foster new trade agreements and to strengthen deals with Canada's current trading partners. Carney flying to Beijing to meet with the President of China to discuss various issues, including China's high tariffs on Canadian pork, seafood, and canola. Carney telling reporters he sees agri-food tariffs as one of his top issues for discussion on the China agenda.
The objective of the meeting was to establish that relationship, to unlock very important shorter-term issues. Canola, same with the fishing issue. Those are important issues for us. We're going to be working hard to get those resolved. For those hardworking farmers, fishers, it means a pathway to address the tariffs that China has on them.
Carney explaining that dealing with U.S. administration on trade issues becomes increasingly difficult and only makes good economic sense to build closer ties with the world's second largest economy, China.
It's important that we are engaged with the world's largest country by population, second largest economy by value, and increasingly influential to the global system. It opens up a much bigger set of opportunities over the course of the next few months. For
reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. For the first time in 5 years, Chinese trade with Russia declined in 2025. Russia has taken steps to stem the losses with trade deals secured for agriculture, energy, and artificial intelligence when Russian President Putin met with Chinese President Xi this past fall. It has been a challenging year for sugar growers with high production costs, weaker prices, adding pressure across the sector. American Sugar Alliance Director of Economics and Policy Analysis, Rob Johansson, says the latest USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report showed relatively steady sugar numbers, but flat demand and strong production continuing to weigh on the overall markets.
The numbers in the sugar balance sheet and the WASDE each month are really important for a lot of, a lot of people making decisions. Looking out for especially into the new crop, but we're still in the middle of harvest for part of our crop in Florida right now. So production numbers are moving around a little bit, but generally speaking, at this time of year, USDA has a pretty good idea of what production's looking like. We've got a pretty good crop this year. It's almost record. So good domestic production, both in cane and beet land.
Johansson says production remaining solid, but demand is not keeping pace.
Import numbers move around a lot for sugar, depending on demand. And right now, the demand estimates are what everybody's looking at. How much sugar are people going to buy? How many the food companies that are buying sugar to make their products, they're looking at what the consumers are doing at the grocery store. And we're seeing, and USDA didn't make a lot of changes in their estimate from last month in terms of demand. It's pretty flat demand right now, to be honest, and that's another reason why we're having a difficult time with having high levels of production as well as high levels of imports.
Johansson says flat demand combining with strong domestic production and imports continuing to pressure the prices, leaving sugar beet and sugar cane growers facing tight margins heading into the year ahead. 2025, a difficult year for farmers. 2026 doesn't look to be much improved. South Dakota Corn Growers Association President Taylor Sumption says large carryover in corn alongside low prices likely to dominate discussions at the annual conference this weekend in Sioux Falls.
This is our 40th conference. State of affairs for corn is, you know, 25 is a tough year. 26 is looking tough. From a corn standpoint, we're getting through a gigantic crop. That the WASDE report on Monday made that even bigger than anyone was really expecting. So we've got some corn to get through. Corn is actually, we're moving it, we're grinding it, making ethanol. Soybeans is probably holding corn back for the most part. So that's a challenge with some of the trade issues going on right now. Getting through those soybean bushels is definitely more of a challenge. So it's a challenging year ahead for everyone.
The schedule at the annual conference this weekend at Sioux Falls is loaded with the latest in markets and weather impacting agriculture.
We've got some speakers coming in. We focus on a few areas. One is weather. We have Andrew Pritchard coming in to talk weather. He's with Nutrien. Anyone familiar with Eric Snodgrass, he's his counterpart. Then we have Naomi Bloom coming in to talk a little bit of marketing. After lunch, we have Jake Comer with Growth Energy to talk about different markets for ethanol and you know, the energy sector for corn ethanol. It's a great event. The doors open at 9:30 Saturday morning. The event kind of kicks off about 10 o'clock. There's a complimentary lunch about 12:30 and a great lineup of speakers for anybody interested in agriculture and particularly corn.
The 40th Annual South Dakota Corn Conference starting tomorrow morning, 9:30 at the Sioux Falls Convention Center. Congresswoman Julie Fedorchuk is joining House colleagues and urging the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Department of Justice to review federal regulations that restrict competition in the agricultural input marketplace. In a letter to USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins and Attorney General Pam Bondi, lawmakers say rising input costs and low commodity prices driving financial stress in rural America and limiting competition for fertilizer, seed, and equipment. The members asking the USDA and DOJ to identify regulations across all federal agencies that impede competition and to clarify which barriers can be addressed by the Trump administration and which would require congressional action. This is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It's time to check in with Michael Johnson from Ag Week to find out what's on the cover of next week's Ag Week magazine. Michael?
It's farm toy show season, and so for my Ag Week cover story this week, I attended a farm toy show in Osakis, Minnesota. This show is just in its second year, but it's really proven itself as a great little show where kids and adults can come together and find something old, something new, something blue, green, red, whatever you're after in tractors or equipment. Kind of a hot item at these farm toy shows, I found out, is that the addition of 3D printed equipment and parts. And some might see it as kind of a stretch to add in something that's not made by the more popular toy companies like Ertl. But these builders that are using these 3D printers are working to model the equipment after the real thing. And in some cases, they're just trying to connect with different generations through the use of these toys. One of the organizers of the event, Dwayne Duvier, mentioned that that's really what the club is after, is trying to connect with generations and keep them connected to farming, whether that's how farming was or how it's becoming. And it's pretty cool how some toys have the power to bring together young and old like this. There are other farm toy shows coming up other than this one, so check out my story to find out more about that.
Thanks, Michael. We'll look forward to reading it in next week's Ag Week. Taking a look at the markets right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat in May up 3 at 577. You got May Chicago up 7.5 at 529. March Kansas City is up 9.75 now at 527. March corn is trading up 4.75 cents at 425. July's up 4.25 at 438.25. And the March soybeans up 4.75 at 10.57.75. May's up 4 at 10.68.25. Switching to the livestock numbers now. February live cattle down 375, 230, 230. And the feeders, March down 810, 356, 52. This is the Red River Farm Network.